following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, back in Studio A. Last week, we were in Studio B. Dee and I chewed on, some stuff. Legalities, things of that nature. It happens. You got to kind of do that every once in a while. You gotta lay it out there. That's the whole point. You know, if you've got a, I guess as a follow-up, if you've got a trademark or a copyright, you wield it like a sword in a game of Dungeons and Dragons. Except the only difference is that it's that D&D is not necessarily real.
Hold on, bro. It really is. It's all roll the dice.
Yeah, but it's also the same in real life. You got to hold to your guns. You got to stick to your thing. You got to get it done. So, you know, on that, that's where I'm going to leave it. You know, this week has been interesting around these parts, at least the week that we've been producing this, because the Black Plague has showed up. It has showed up in Cooper Young. It has showed up in Memphis. Man, there is an outbreak of the norovirus that has swept through this city in a bad way. The immigrant, my wife, the lovely Josephine, got caught up in it. And I've been standing around here over the past several days like a French revolutionary with a blindfold and a cigarette, waiting to take my stand at the post, hoping that I don't get it. You know what it's like to care for somebody when they're sick and you know that you're dealing with something that's highly contagious and you don't want to get sick yourself? It's like you're trying to, I don't know, you wear rubber gloves, you got oven mitts up to your elbows, you're covered in hand sanitizer, you're just trying to make sure that everybody's okay. And in the meantime, the wife and the, you know, in between rounds of puking, is the dog okay? Is the dog going to get sick too? No, it's not like that. It doesn't quite work that way. Thankfully, because a dog, you know, he just goes out and eats a little bit of grass and then he pukes it up and he's good to go. Good Lord, if we could all be that fortunate. But yeah, here in Memphis, in the middle of the summer, no less, the norovirus has made its run through this city, and it's rough, it's bleak, it's no fun. I had it a couple of years ago, and it was a version of it that set me back about a week. I mean, 4 or 5 solid days of just puking. Oh my God, it was horrible. It was horrifying. I remember the days when it was only like 24 hours. You were in and out, and you're boom, done. You're done. You're the way you go. Nowadays, you know, this virus has just extended itself into ways that you have a hell of a time trying to get through it. And there are times that my stomach feels kind of funny here of late, but at the same time, I'm going, is it nerves? Or is it the fact that I've had too much caffeine? Am I drinking liquor on an empty stomach? You know, trying to take care of myself, you know. You just cruise through it. Thankfully, as of the taping of this, everybody seems to be doing good. I just hooked up the immigrant with a little bit of dinner. She's able to eat something as a first in like 3 or 4 days where she could have something solid. She's enjoying some scrambled eggs, a little bit of toast. Got to rebuild that stomach. You got to get it all back. And you do. You recover from that. But it's funny how in the middle of all of this, when you're that sick and your head is hanging down in the bowl and all of, you know, you're just puking up from the soles of your shoes, and it's just this horrible, horrible feeling. That's when you know, I know you've been there, and you're laying there on that floor on that cool bathroom tile, and you're going, oh, please, Guido, make it quick, you know, just cap me right in the back of the head, you know, right in the brains, just, you know, boom, done. You pray for death. Thankfully, it hasn't come to that, so We're all good there. So, yes, in the meantime, we've been steaming along. We've got a lot of things that have been happening over at Radio Memphis. It's time for the plug.
PirateRadioStudios.com, bro.
Yeah, PirateRadioStudios.com. Radio-Memphis.com is really where it's all at. They all point to the same place. We've got some programming that is happening, and it turns out that a lot of people are pretty thrilled about it. The the new Existence of Strange Things, hosted by Joel Martin and Stephen Gunther. These guys have done a great job so far and putting on a great show for you kids, and it's doing well. The numbers have been rather good, and we're rather happy about that, which is a good thing. A little variety in the programming, little Memphis product that's happening out, and that's yet another good thing. And I mentioned about Memphis product because I don't know what it's like in the city that you live in, but here we have two newspapers. Well, one's a mainstream 7-day-a-week newspaper, and they have their best of. We have another one that has their best of. The other newspaper is a weekly thing that you can get for free, advertisement supported. And every year they have their best of. I've talked about it before because it's a way for them to drive advertisement dollar is really kind of what it boils down to. And everybody shows an interest in the paper for that moment of time. And it turned out that Radio Memphis and yours truly, and thanks to those who did, they nominated Radio Memphis as the best radio station in the city. And there were those that had nominated me as best radio personality, which I'm humbled by. Thank you so much. It's not my first trip around that barn. We've talked about that before. In the past, they would say, "Oh, hey, congratulations, Rick. You're in the top three. We can guarantee you a number one spot if you buy a quarter page ad, and we'll make sure that you win the big trophy." And we've always said in the past, no, thanks. That's just not how that's going to work. And this is really no different. But they changed it up this year, the flyer did. They said, well, this time what we're going to do is we're going to open up nominations. And those that get the most nominations get to go into the category of the top five. And the top five get voted on again. So in other words, your people have to vote on you twice, which is another way to generate more readership and thus jack the ad rates up. I get it. I understand that's why it is. Do I agree with it? No. But that's how it works. Well, after having been told that we've been nominated several times, I mean a lot of times, we didn't get nominated. And in the past, to be fair, the Memphis Flyer has never really given two shits about Radio Memphis. They don't consider us a real radio, and B, we've spoken in open terms about this newspaper, being that what it is. You know, playing favorites and do what they do, and that's all well and good. It's their paper; they can do what they want. I'm not here to pick a fight with them, but it does come across sometimes as being a bit self-serving, which in this particular case was absolutely the truth, because it wasn't just in the broadcast business. I mean, they are looking for the best of in patios, the best of in bars, the best of grocery stores. This is a good one. The best grocery store in Memphis is Kroger. Bullshit. There's a local chain, a locally owned and operated chain here. They've got like four or five places here in this city. Created by a Memphian, maintained by a Memphian. I'm not talking Piggly Wiggly either. I'm talking about Super Low. These guys have been around forever. And the grocery store that we use, as you walk out the sliding glass doors, there's a wedding picture of the guy. Picture. I sound like I've been here. Picture. There's a wedding picture of Mr. Stefferson and his wife from taken back in the 60s when they got married. This is a guy that started the place. And it hasn't changed at all. And it has that I would say small town, but it has that very simplistic feel to it. It's a good old-fashioned grocery store. I was there looking for something in particular in their beer aisle, which at the time on the rack, they were sold out. And I was talking to the manager who happened to be near the cage. And I said, hey, Alan, what's the story here? I'm looking for this kind of thing. And he goes, well, hey, come with me. So he and I go back to where the people don't go, which was cool. You go back in there and the rows and rows of canned goods and, you know, the non-perishables and some of the perishables and the refrigerated area. And then you go over to the beer aisle. This is not what the public sees. No, this is the beer area. That's what it was. It was like Area 51. I didn't know this thing existed till I got back there and saw this. beer from every place on the planet just stacked there, ready to go in to be stocked. And I'm sitting there going, wow, it's impressive. And here's this guy, this manager goes, hey, I see what you're looking for back here? You find what you... I'm like, yeah, well, damn, Alan, I'm trying. But I'm just sort of distracted by all the beauty that you've got back here. Oh, well, you know how it is. You know, we need somebody that understands beer. Like, you want to come work for us? I get offered a gig. I get offered a job to be the beer guy at a grocery store. No, sorry, it's not my thing. I mean, I'm sure it has its perks, as any other job does, but, you know, still. Nevertheless, I go behind the curtain, and all of a sudden, I felt as though I was some sort of a special person. And I even told Alan this. I said, Alan, why are you letting me back here? I know this. I know his name because, of course, the name tag and his picture's up on the wall over the cage. You know, every grocery store has the cage, the customer service cage. And his name is Alan. I said, Alan, why are you letting me back here? He goes, well, I see you here all the time. You're a good customer. At least I can do is take you back here where inventory is, and maybe you can maybe we can find what you're looking for. Well, God damn it, that's customer service. That's what you don't. You go to Kroger, please. They're gonna run you out of there. They're out of there. They're out of their goddamn minds, thinking that that's. Oh, we can't let you back here, Joe Citizen. You're gonna find a rat. Or whatever the case may be. But there I was, and I felt special, and I'm back there, picking through the beer. By the pallet load. Oh, my God. It was like being... I felt like Augustus. Remember Augustus? Not the Caesar, but Augustus in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. The Gene Wilder version, thank you very much. Augustus goes to the River of Chocolate and is just stuck his head in there. And, of course, he gets sucked up into the thing. I mean, I felt like that. I felt like I was really close to being Augustus there for a moment. My wife would have gotten a phone call. You need to come get your, you know, come get your husband because he's been sucked into the beer vat. Not that there were any vats there, but still, that's what, yeah, it was like, holy cow, the legitimate saying of a kid in a candy store. And there I was, right there in the throes of it. And I ran into other people that were back there, and they were all very sweet and very nice. Oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, it's good to see you. And nobody cared because that's the mentality. That's what it's like to be human. That's what it's like to be in a position where now all of a sudden the people that you have considered strangers now become your friends. It's not because they took me back in there behind the curtain where I could see the beer. It wouldn't have mattered. I could have been looking for a particular brand of diced tomatoes. It wouldn't have mattered. I felt like as though that they could have dragged me back there. We could have had a time back there. And we did. I was back there for probably 10 minutes. I was marveling at how the innards of a grocery store works. And you'd be surprised as to how efficient that really is. It's not terribly complicated, mind you, but it's still kind of cool how this all comes together. And for a moment, which, by the way, they didn't have what I was looking for. It was on order, as it turned out. They went that far to determine that it was on order. But they let me back there, and that was cool. But I left there with a sense of, this is cool. They wouldn't have done this to everybody. I know. I get that. But it was nice. It was a moment out of some surreal snippet of time where I felt special.
Well, you are special.
No, I'm not that. But I stepped out of there with my other purchases and went on about my day and my afternoon and my evening, and then suddenly got caught up in the madness that is the real world that we're dealing with. We live in a time where people now are so divided and so filled with fear and hate that those little moments become sacred. Isn't it funny how that is? You can't turn on the TV without hearing about some crazy horseshit this dumbass president of ours has gotten ourselves into.
I hate you, bro. You liberal bastard.
Yeah, go ahead. I just don't think that I would have ever imagined a time in our lives when we would have had a Nazi sympathizer and a coward in the White House. That's part of it. But it's deeper than that. It points back to a problem. It points back to those of us who have failed. This is all of us. We have failed to embrace each other as people. We're all in this. Well, do you get to go back into the back of a grocery store and go check out what's back behind the magic curtain? Or you go through your day and you hear people screaming and yelling and Lord knows, quite truthfully, pitchforks and torches. The tiki people, the tiki brand people are completely freaked out that they had to, a company that makes backyard torches to keep mosquitoes at bay and to provide that cool little bit of candlelight in your backyard on a little stick that sticks into your ground, are having to release a statement that says that we're not associated with the Nazi Party. What fucked up world have we found ourselves in?
Oh, so now you get to the real gist of what this whole show's about. You're being political.
Yeah, political, no. I'm being reasonable. I'm being a realist here. You got people that are on one side going, you can't take down the statues because it's you're erasing our history. There's a place called a library. It's a kind of a cool joint. There's no erasing of history that goes on in there. I don't know if you guys have ever checked it out, but it's a thing. It's real. What other country in this world? I want you to name one. And you can write to me. Radioland at pirateradiostudios.com. I want you to write to me. I want you to tell me what other country in the world venerates lost causes. Because the United States of America did and still does. The Civil War is what I'm talking about. In the South, down here, we're kind of where Memphis is. We're in the Mid-South. We don't particularly claim ourselves to be Deep South because that would just be kind of weird and effed up. But we erect monuments to people like Nathan Bedford Forrest, the guy who founded the Ku Klux Klan, for Christ's sakes. He may have been a great military strategist, but he still lost the goddamn war. But we erected a statue to him. Hell, his bones are not really buried. They were exhumed from another cemetery where he wanted to be, and he was put on display in the 60s in this park. And now there's talk about moving his ass back over to the cemetery. And there are people that are going, you're erasing our history. But we're not. We've moved on. Those statues were put into place to show oppression, to put the fear into the African American community, into the black people, that you can't live like this because here's a statue of a dead guy on a horse who's going to show you where you need to be. It's bullshit. It's complete and utter bullshit. You want to venerate the Civil War? How about a statue of Lincoln? You won't find one of those down in the South. Nor of the black soldiers that fought in that war. There's not a single monument that I'm aware of dedicated to those guys. But yet, this sort of thing has torn this country apart and continues to do so. And I see on a daily, hourly by hourly basis, people that are somehow supporting this monster in the White House. In the past, I've never really discussed politics, and this isn't politics. This is about being a human being. This is ridiculous. This is stupid. This is out of our fucking minds. You heard him. Well, there are very fine people on both sides of the argument. No, there's never been a fine Nazi. End of story. There's never been one. Nor should there ever be, by the nature of the way they operate. And yet, we stand around and we go, yeah, but you're erasing our history. You're not erasing shit. You're moving it. Get it out of the parks, put it in the cemetery. Put it in a museum. You want to go? You want to go venerate that individual? You know where to find them. In the past, we have done a couple of shows at a place called Elmwood Cemetery here in Memphis. In that cemetery is an area that is designated specifically for veterans and soldiers of the Civil War, primarily from the Confederacy. They died, they're buried there under a great monument. It's actually a tremendous monument. about the war they fought and the side that they fought for. And it's treated with the respect that it deserves. There are, there's the Confederate battle flag. Oh, I know I'm going to hear about that.
Oh, it wasn't the battle flag, bro.
It's the red flag with the blue X and the stars. You can call it whatever it is. But it's there. If you want to see it, you can go there. It's not rubbed into people's faces. If you go there, you know that that's going to be there. But yet, there's this fight. There's this argument that everything that we're doing right now in the sake of being, I don't know, grown up, is ridiculous. In Japan, there are no monuments to Emperor Hirohito, who got us into the Second World War. In Germany, I don't believe, and I'm fairly certain about this, having been there, there are no monuments to Adolf Hitler. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Also in that same country, there is no monument to those who started the First World War. In Italy, there are no monuments to Mussolini. But in the United States, we have monuments to lost causes. It's fascinating to me. On the surface, but when you dig down, you realize that it's there for oppression. The South's going to rise again, bro. And what, bring back slavery? Because that's what the war was fought. You see it all the time. These people go, the Civil War was not fought over slavery. It was fought over blah, 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 blah. It didn't take a stretch of the imagination to read the Articles of Confederation that state specifically that the reason why these states separated was that the North was tired of the slavery and they were making it illegal. Well, the South was like, well, that ain't going to happen. Well, there wasn't that many people that owned slaves. It was only the rich. Very true. But it was enough to drive the populace to put a military together to fight the North. The War of Northern Aggression. Now, look, I'm not going to sit here and get into all the ins and outs of the Civil War because I am, self-admittedly, not an expert on that matter. In fact, I have a very pedestrian look at it, the way that most of you do. There are those who know more about it than I do. But the Civil War was fought over slavery, period. What other reason would there be? Why would there have been a war? People were willing to die so they could own other people. It was insane. It was crazy. And here we are in 2017 with monuments to these people that were all about the slaves and trying to protect their right to own other people. And we're tearing down those monuments across the country as we speak. And there are those that are holding on to the go, we can't let that go. That's desecrating our own history. Bullshit. Your history is still there. No one will ever forget slavery in the United States of America. It's a fact. It happened. We're not erasing history. We're keeping it from pissing off everybody else that has to look at that shit every day. How about erecting monuments to people who have done some good things? Like Lincoln.
Well, we can't have Lincoln there because he eradicated slavery. Oh, it's the emancipation shit. What the
bullshit. There are astronauts. Yeah, we have monuments to astronauts. People that are, last bastions of great commerce and engineering. Scientists. Why don't we have monuments to scientists? Why not? Leave the politics out of it. Great human beings, they're out there. There's a few of them. I've been fortunate to have met some. But yet there's no monuments to those people. But here we are, as we stand in the mix of all of this, and we wonder, what the hell are we going to do next, huh? What are we going to do? It's a good question. And it wasn't, this whole show wasn't about, trying to piss anybody off. If you want to write, complain, vent your spleen, whatever. Such as it is. But we've lost our ability to be reasonable, and that's the problem that I have. Where is that? We need to step back. Let's be reasonable again, can we? Is it possible? Is that far out of the realm? Just to be a little reasonable? The problem with fighting is that nothing ever really good comes of it. But argument is healthy. Argument is where compromise occurs. Argument is where we find ways to understand each other on levels that we need to be understood upon. it's not that complicated of a topic, really, but that's kind of where I sit. What do you think?
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
And then along with that, they can't handle the fact that there are people that are going to hear that stuff and go, what, like people like me? What the fuck is this? Why have you invaded the internet? And what content are you giving me? Zero. I'll answer that. Plain as the nose on my face. Zero content.
Well, Rick, you can't argue with that because they've got like 3 million people.
Yes, they've got 3 million people watching and listening to this vapid cunt. And that's exactly what this is. So meanwhile, we stand around and guys like me, cranky old geezer on the fucking podcast over here who barely can figure out how to scratch his own ass anymore. And at the same time, he's bitching because of what? Because people haven't paid their dues and worked so hard to get into this business.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
If it's one thing about Radio Memphis, we're very proud of a show that we do. It's not because I'm on it, but or co-host it. It's a show that features blues music. Blues is good. Blues is a big thing. It touches a lot of styles. It's way groovy. It's the birth of rock and roll came from the blues. It's the birth of country. Gospel came from all of this. Actually, blues came from gospel, but nevertheless. It's time to let's get into a tune is what I'm getting at. I want to introduce you to a friend of ours. His name is Carlos Echoes. Carlos Echoes is a band called the Carlos Echoes Band. Carlos has a lot of Santana in him, which is cool. But if you'll pay close attention, Santana has a lot of blues in him. Carlos has a tune. It's called Ride On. That's what we're going to listen to right now as we get to play a tune here from Radioland.
I'm ready to go. Don't walk by me.
Carlos Seco's band from Radioland and Ride On. That's what it is. R-I-D-E on. Great tune. He plays. He's been playing here quite a bit here of late. Here in the middle part of the summer as we get into the fall here around Memphis in the Mid-South. If you're in the area, go find him. He's great. Carlos Echos. E-C-O-S. Carlos Echos. Get his music. Add it to your collection. I swear to God, you're gonna dig it. You'll play it a lot. It's good stuff. All right, kids, that's it for me. You heard what's coming up next time. Until then, take care of yourselves, take care of one another. For Christ's sakes, stop shooting each other. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.